Well, part two does continue even quicker than we thought we'd actually let our kind of commercial break in many ways. Natalie Tuck's with us. How are you, Natalie?
I'm good, thank you, Alex.
Now, one of the key things I've just seen here, which I think probably yourself and Nicola probably needed, was the graduation bear, really, because having just graduated with a first-class honours, this is the one thing you probably needed for your whole thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've already got one, bought one from the ceremony, but these ones look a higher standard than the one that I bought.
There's always one for her MA course.
Yeah, well, I make mine. I do them for specific for each university, and they're all personalised to the person, you know, they're embroidered and everything with their names and everything like that. So they're made, you know, like very personal, the ones I make, really. And I research what the colours are and everything for each, you know, course. And so you get a bear just like... your gown and everything, you know.
Amazing, it's fantastic. Natalie, questions?
Yeah, how long does it take to make one of the bears?
Well, a little one like this, about an 8-inch bear, takes me about 12 to 14 hours. And that doesn't include designing the patterns after that. You know, like I design the patterns first, which takes maybe a day or two to get them perfect. And then just physically making an 8-inch bear, sort of, yeah, about 10 to 12 hours. And then if you dress them, it takes even longer, yeah.
So, obviously, both Nicola and Natalie, good graduates, sorting through, very talented folk in their own way, etc. Do you think they'd be up for actually joining a bear-making course? Would you be up for taking them, Sue?
Yeah, you don't have to... Well, it's helpful if you can hold a needle, so, yeah. You don't have to have any specific skills. I've had people come on the courses who've never made anything in their lives before and gone away with a really lovely little bear. So,
oh, they're really lovely. I really would be interested in trying to make one day. So we'll have to meet up and get making some bears.
Yeah, but it is fun. We have a really good time doing it, you know, so...
And in terms of LG Bears on the road, where do you go to now? Are we looking for the crafts for Christmas shows and Countryside Live and things?
No, I'm actually... I'm now actually... As I'm getting on a bit now.
No.
I'm starting to sort of...
Ease back?
Ease back a little
bit
now. I'm not going to do quite so many fairs from next year. I'm going to sort of work more from orders and commissions and off my website. I'm still going to do a couple, but... they're very, very hard work. My husband's retired altogether now.
No, so. Len. Are you just over 24?
Yes. Well, thank you.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's now that, you know, Len's retired, it'd be quite nice to spend a bit more time together and doing things together. And I'm still going to do them, but not quite so many.
Well, we're going to be speaking to Martin Fish in a few moments, the show director. If he hasn't already put this in the top three stand designs, I'll be astonished, and questions will be asked quite clearly. But for the moment, many thanks indeed.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
So, the legend that is Martin Fish, NEHS show director extraordinaire, I think we'd have to say, is back with us again. Martin, good to see you. Day one and a half of the 2012 Autumn Harrogate Flower Show.
Yeah, it is. Beautiful weather forecast today as well. Blue skies, just that little nice cool breeze, and lots of people coming in. I was at the main gate at 9:30 when we opened them, and they came flooding in. So hopefully a lot of people are going to come and enjoy the show.
I was also very impressed that within seconds of us kind of just sort of catching sight of your good self, people were already putting £10 notes into your hand. It's fantastic, really. It's just giving the gift that keeps on giving.
It is, yeah. I just wish they'd do it more often. Yes, I was just happened to be standing in front of somebody's stand, and I think they thought I was there to take money. But I'll always take money off anybody, so if anybody's got any spare fives, tens, just throw them my way.
Yeah, show director. Now she's doing her MA in business journalism. That could be an interesting strategy you could adopt on. Natalie Tuck, welcome.
Hello there. It's nice to see that you've coordinated your tie to the event. I like that.
Yes, I tried to wear the corporate colours on one day, yes.
What are the highlights of this year's flower show then?
Well, I mean, there are so many, really, because I think the autumn show is famous for lots of things. But, I mean, we're standing outside just from where the giant veg are and the exhibition veg. And I think Harrogate has got a really good reputation for the fruit and vegetables. If you get out there, we've got cabbages that, you know, are 4 or 5 feet in diameter. And yesterday, again, we broke the world record heaviest onion at 18 pounds, 1 ounce, which is a whopper. So the fruit and veg are always very popular. But, of course, we mustn't forget the flowers, you know, up in the Specialist Society marquee. You've got all the lovely dahlias and the gladioli and the carnations. And one of my highlights has got to be Flower Hall 1, where we've got the nurseries, because I'm a nurseryman by trade. So I just love all the nurseries that are in there. But there's loads of other things. There's the cookery Theatre. There's the show gardens outside. The Cookery Theatre is always popular. In fact, yesterday it was a hoot because I was doing a cookery demonstration with Rosemary Schrager, and so I got a few tips off her.
Just genius. I have to say, I was very impressed that Camilla Harrison got in a weightlifter at short notice. I'm surprised she didn't have you oiling up yourself, basically, Martin.
Well, I'd got the olive oil on standby there and, you know, the fake tan just in case I needed to step in on my Speedos.
Always good. Nicola?
I saw a piece in the Harrogate Flower Show booklet saying about two new roses that are being launched at the show. What's new about them? What's different to the other roses out there?
Yeah, that's right. There are two new roses. One of them's been introduced by Harwood House near Leeds. And Harwood House was the home, well, it's the Earl of Harwood lives there. But his grandmother was the president of the society many years ago in the 1950s and 60s. And she was Her Royal Highness the Princess Mary. So she would be thinking on my feet, auntie to our present queen. And she was the patron of the society for a long time. So they've named a rose in memory of her called the Yorkshire Princess, and that's at the show. And the other one is Geoffrey Smith. And Geoffrey Smith, for people of a certain age, you're probably too young yourself, but Geoffrey was a very famous garden writer and broadcaster sort of through the 70s, 80s and 90s, and was based in Harrogate. So the other one has been launched by R.V. Roger in memory of Geoffrey, called Geoffrey Smith.
And again, I thought it was a heart-moving line in terms of how you were inspired personally by Geoffrey to actually get into the horticultural trade in the first place.
That's right, yes, because originally my family have got no links to horticulture. I came from a mining village in Nottinghamshire, so all my family, all the male side for five or six generations were all miners. And I took to gardening, and Geoffrey Smith at the time was very big on television and writing for publications like Garden News, and he just got this very down-to-earth, get on with it, and that's made me think, I'd like to be a gardener.
And obviously the Royal Connection, Natalie, is also one of our regular Royal correspondents, together with Richard Fitzwilliams, of course. Natalie, you must be very excited about that rose named after Princess Margaret.
Yeah, especially Mary. Called the Yorkshire Princess as well, because I'm from Yorkshire, so...
There you go, yes, exactly. We don't have many princesses in Yorkshire, so it's quite fitting, I think.
Yeah, we've got two today, amazing, isn't it?
Exactly, that's right, yes.
Okay, we've already talked about the upcoming Spring Flower Show, etc. Fantastic events taking place all the time. It's just getting better and better, though, on an annual basis, it would seem, Martin.
I hope so. Yeah, we're trying to keep the show moving forward. We feel that you can't stop, you can't stand still, otherwise you fall behind. So each year we try to introduce something new, just to keep the momentum going forward, so there's always something interesting for visitors.
We knew when you took over the reins from Roger a few years ago that it was going to be a challenge, but you seem to have actually just met that challenge and exceeded it. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. I should keep trying my hardest.
So we've moved out from the press area into the main vegetable zone with Natalie, of course. Nicola's also amazed by the size of some of these vegetables. Natalie, your thoughts?
They're massive, huge. I mean, I saw it on the news last night, but I couldn't believe it until I've seen it with my own eyes. And I can assure all the listeners out there that they are huge.
Indeed, it's not photoshopping that we're actually using to actually put these photos up on Facebook. Looking at the National Onion Championships, of course, sponsored by Kitchen Garden. Interested that in a year, as we were speaking earlier, that has been a bit challenging weather-wise, it doesn't seem to have affected the size of some of these beasts.
No, I mean, definitely not. I mean, surely they must be given, I don't know what they're given, because I'm not a farmer.
I thought steroids originally, yeah. But no, it's all genetic.
Oh, right. Well... it's kind of unbelievable that you get such big onions, you know. It's strange.
Speechless. It's strange. You're almost speechless, Natalie.
They're alien-like, actually, Alex.
I don't think they're actually bursting out in other ways, although I suppose maybe they are. You're listening to Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM's Midweek Drive on location with Natalie Tuck, Nicola Clancy and Alex Leftuke, and in association with Farm and Ord Nutritional Supplements at the 2012 Harrogate North of England Horticultural Society Autumn Flower Show. Okay, so we've covered the giant cabbages, we've covered the giant leeks, we've looked at the tomatoes in quite astonishment and amazement, but we're now with the fantastic bonsai people, the other end of the scale, speaking to...
Richard Veer, the owner of North of England Bonsai.
Richard, fantastic to speak to you, good self. I'll go straight to Natalie, because I think you're quite intrigued with these bonsai.
I am, yeah. I'm just wondering, how easy are they to keep alive? Because I'm a student, and, you know, it's nice to have a plant or something in a student flat, but they're very, you know, they often die, plants, for me. So are they...
Postgraduate student could be even more challenging.
Yeah.
Basically, they're trees, so keep them outside. Certain ones like to come indoor in the winter because they're not frost hardy. E.g., that portulaca is the only one, I guarantee you, you can keep indoor. It will produce a flower when it's more mature, as it's a young tree at the moment.
Right, that one looks the leaves look quite shiny compared to all the rest. Is that something, like, why you can keep it inside?
That's right, it is, yes.
Let's move on. Nicola, questions for yourself?
I just wanted to know, like, how do you start to grow the tree? Is it a seed, or is it, how does it begin, basically?
There are all different varieties, ways of growing bonsai trees. It's either a specimen tree, which has been grown underground, and then popped into a pot, because the word bonsai means tree in a pot. Or you can air layer off a specimen tree and take the branch off and produce a tree out of that branch by getting roots where you've done the air layer.
That's fantastic. That's really interesting. I never knew that, and I really want one. So which one would you recommend if I was going to buy one today? What one should I go for?
What I tend to ask people is, first of all, is where would you like to keep the tree?
Inside.
Then obviously you're looking at the portulaca again, because that's the only one you can keep indoor.
Right, okay. So if I was to go for outside, what would be the best one for outside? Any of them, or one in particular?
Probably the Japanese holly, which produces a little white flower and then in the autumn produces berries, blackberries.
Are they edible berries or?
No.
Good question and good answer.
Excellent. Wow, they're absolutely fantastic.
For folk who are listening to this online, globally, in all parts of the world, etc., how can people actually get in touch with your good self if they're saying, yes, that's the company we need to go to?
Well, I do have a website, and it's www.northofenglandbonsai.com.
And a few name checks for your colleagues here have been observing the interview with great interest, etc. So we need to sort of name check the supporting team here. Who have we got?
Supporting team, my wife and stepson Simon.
Brilliant, exactly. Well, so quick hello to your good selves, etc. But way from that point of view. Natalie, any other questions?
I noticed that you've got a contribution with Box for St John Ambulance. How are you linked to St John Ambulance?
2009, we're exhibiting at Hampton Court, where my wife was taken very ill whilst building up the stand and doing the display of trees, and St John's Ambulance actually saved her life. So we thought, right, let's start trying to raise money, and we're hoping to try and raise £1,200 for a defibrillator.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But let's grab a few words with your wife, if we can, from that point of view. So, good to hear you, but good that you're back, actually.
Yes, I'm fit and well. I'm back working again.
Fantastic. So what's your own personal favourite bonsai tree, then?
Probably Pseudolarix Golden Larch. Mainly because it's when I first met my husband as well. I actually bought it off him.
This is fantastic.
Unfortunately, the leaves dropped off it, but I didn't know that was normal. So I
happens to the best of us, actually.
So I phoned him to find out why I thought I killed my bonsai, to find out that actually happened.
See, it's always good to see when the leaves drop off your plant. All's well with the world.
That's right. Yes.
Been absolutely wonderful touching base with your good self. I'm sure we need to speak with you again. Will you be around for the Great Yorkshire Show and the Spring Flower Show, etc.?
I will, and I'll also be exhibiting here at Harrogate Spring as well.
We'll see you then.
Thank you very much.
There's a tale that's being shared by Natalie at present, which I'm not even sure whether she wants to go public with, but it involves leeks and spring onions and a certain supermarket, which we can't mention. But would you actually just share with us this little tale, Natalie?
Yeah, when I first started working as a checkout girl, I didn't know my different vegetables, you know, quite embarrassed by it. And I did put a leek through as a spring onion. And then I just checked with the customer to make sure that it was actually a spring onion. She burst into a fit of hysterics because it was a leek.
Well, yeah, you're keeping the customer entertained.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like that experience whilst going into the shop. So, I mean, you can kind of see where the similarity is.
It's just a big spring onion. I just thought it was a large spring onion. Like, it could have been in this competition because it was so big.
You're absolutely right. We were speaking earlier to one of the coordinators of the NVS, or the National Vegetable Society, and we're looking currently now, Natalie, at what?
Loads of different vegetables. I won't name them all because I'll probably get them wrong.
We've got your cauliflowers, we've got your leeks, we've got your spring onions, we've got your
celery, petit pois, you've got your cucumbers, parsnips, and they're all huge. So
So, Natalie, we've moved into the floral area now, and we're delighted to speak to
Melanie Collins.
Melanie, share with us, what magical things have you brought to the Autumn Flower Show?
Oh, crikey, all sorts of hostas that are still looking gorgeous, despite the fact that the season's getting towards the end. We've got some exciting big-leaved hostas that come from Summer Substance, which any fan of hostas is probably aware of. It's a beautiful, big, gold hosta that has leaves like dustbin lids. Lovely.
Now, I'm looking at those hostas. Are those the ones that are right in front of us at present? Because they all seem to have ABBA names. We have Dancing Queen. We have Hasino.
That's completely accidental. They just look lovely together.
Because for some reason I thought, are you going into an ABBA-themed hosta celebration here?
Well, there are actually some ABBA-named hostas. We don't actually have any for sale at the moment.
I mean, obviously, Benny, Bjorn, Agneta, you know, Anna Fried, the whole world. Anyway, whilst I go off with my own sort of, you know, Fernando Tideway, etc., or various other things, over to Natalie.
Yeah, so it says that hostas originated in China, Korea, and Japan. So how easy are they to maintain in the UK then?
Okay, very easy indeed. They're one of those plants you can just pop in the ground and not worry about. They're woodland plants. They're used to very impoverished soil conditions. They don't need masses of water, but they do need to be kept reasonably moist whilst they establish. And then they'll go hunt for the moisture with the roots. Very easy, as I say, to look after. A lot of people like to grow them in pots, especially the more miniature varieties that are more of a recent introduction. But our climate is not that dissimilar from the climate they're found in the wild.
Noticed you come up, obviously, from Suffolk today, so a reasonable sort of hike come up of you. How has the season been for yourself?
Okay, it's been a challenging year this year. I think everybody has found it that way. Hostas bear up quite well, though, most years. And so we've been quite lucky with the genus that we've focused on. And the flowers are a bonus, so the fact that the flowers have been a bit unreliable this year hasn't been a problem for us.
Nicola?
Just looking at the array of different hosta plants, and I was just wondering, what's the most, like, pleasant scent? What one would you say would be...
The most pleasant scent? There aren't very many that have fragrant flowers. There's just a very small subgroup of the species that all come from one species plant called Plantagenia. Of the ones we have with us, fragrant bouquet is probably the best fragrance. And it depends on your sense of smell. Some think they smell a little bit more like jasmine, others more like honeysuckle. They're not overwhelming like lilies are. They're a much more gentle smell. And they tend to be more smelly. They come out in the evening and overnight.
Got to attract those insects somewhere along the line, haven't you?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. I love the smell of jasmine, so I might have to invest. And what kind of year would it kind of come out? Like, what's the best year, you know, when it blooms?
Well, fragrant hostas tend to bloom later in the season. They tend to be more of an August flowering hosta. And they like evening warmth to encourage them to flower and produce that beautiful smell. So for a year like this, where we've just had the most gorgeous August, they're the perfect patio plant. So providing you can give them a little bit of shade during the worst heat of the day, they've got some evening warmth, they'll be beautiful on your patio.
Are they definitely an outside plant then? You wouldn't be able to keep them alive inside?
For a limited time, you could keep them alive inside. Some people choose to bring their miniatures indoors over winter. We advise you don't do it because they do like to have a good hard frost. Because they have to go dormant, that's when they do all their bud development underground. And so if they have a good hard frost and they know they've had a good hard dormancy, the colours and everything are so much better the year after. So you can keep them indoors for a limited time, but we would advise them to be outside.
Genuinely splendid information about the fantastic hosta, whole new world from that point of view. Where can we catch up with you as the year proceeds? Do you sort of go indoors now until we start again with the spring flower shows?
No, what we do is we work with the season, basically. So this is now our last show of the year, and we'll start again next year, once again here at Harrogate. So we top and tail our year with our Harrogate shows because we love them so much. And so now we go into the division of the plants, getting sorted out for next year, all the nursery work on the website and all that sort of thing. So
you mentioned the website. How do people access that website?
Okay, www.mickfieldhostas.co.uk.